This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores. Welcome back to the Commons Cast. This is Anissa Patel, and today we're back with another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Today, I figured we'd do something a little bit lighter and maybe get to engage in some fun questions just to keep things on a light note. So I'd love to start by asking you, what are some of your hot takes?
What is a hot take?
So I would say maybe like a controversial opinion.
Oh, a controversial. Okay.
Yeah, but so on something like, is a hot dog a sandwich or something like, you know, something like that. But do you have any that you're super passionate about?
Boy, I have so many opinions, but which of them are controversial? Let's see. I don't know how controversial this is, but I definitely feel that the heat and intensity of Nashville summer is way better than the freezing cold winter of Michigan that I grew up in. I'd rather have heat and humidity anytime.
Okay, so you'd rather be hot than be cold.
Absolutely.
Okay. And has that contributed to you being in Nashville, and that's kind of why you are like happy here? And
yeah, it's not why we're here, but okay. It is definitely a benefit. And you know, as a professor, sometimes you get invited to apply for other jobs or, you know, kind of recruited elsewhere. And when I'm invited into places that have cold and terrible weather, I don't even consider it.
Okay. Yeah. And you're done. And I would say, I mean, but sometimes do you think that, you know, cause when you're cold, you can just keep putting on layers. So does that something you factor into that aspect, or like not really? Because I feel like I used to think that I really liked being like, I loved hot weather, but then, you know, there was one time I'm from Atlanta, so it gets super, super hot there. And there was one summer, it was just so hot. And then I was like, nope, done. And as much as I don't like cold weather, I still found that like the intensity was, I would rather be cold than like that intense heat. I don't know, something about it.
Just yeah, like, no, I've heard people say that. That is definitely not the way I feel. I mean, Michigan cold is extremely cold. It's not the same as Nashville winter cold. And so it's, so you're right. You can always put on more layers, but it turns out for me, apparently I cannot put on enough layers when it's cold like that. And I also tend to run cold. And so I think other people might find the summer really oppressive, and it has to get really hot and humid for me to feel that way.
Okay. I totally get it. Okay. And then if you could learn any skill, like instantly almost, which skill would that be?
Oh gosh. So many skills. Well, I really wish that I could ski. I did not grow up downhill skiing. I've only done it a couple of times. I find it terrifying. I think because I was, you know, like an adult when I learned, and it's other people seem to really love it. And so I wish I could ski. What are some other, I mean, there's just so many things that I feel like I would love to be able to do. I also wish I knew how to play tennis. That feels like something I could probably do something about if I put some effort into it.
Yeah. You could start with pickleball then kind of lead into that. It's interesting you say skiing out of everything, considering you were emphatic on not liking the cold.
Right. Well, so I will say the two times I've been skiing have been when we used to live in Northern California. We would go to Lake Tahoe, and mostly I did not ski when we were there, but it's not quite as cold. So it's cold, but you can sometimes not even have your jacket on.
So yeah, skills, would you want to learn an instrument perchance, or is that something that you're not super interested in doing?
I would love to learn an instrument. I did grow up playing piano. And flute. I was terrible at flute, and I did not enjoy playing it, but I did like piano, and gave it up because I was very into ballet and there was just not enough time. But now I wish that I still played. My kids play, and my oldest in particular, I think, really loves it.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so that's funny you say piano and flute, because when I was young, my mom put me in piano lessons as well, and now I've gotten back into it since coming to Vanderbilt, because there's music rooms and I can just kind of go and mess around in there. But I also played the flute as well. In fifth grade, I was a member of our band, and I was not good at it. I remember I would play random notes and hope that it would just drown out in the background. But I do remember we, the mouth, mm-hmm. like the blowing
yeah.
into that, like that was a sensation that I still like remember very, very, like it's something so specific, like especially for like a trumpet or something like that, you know? And I didn't realize how much breath work it took to play those kinds of instruments. I thought it was, breath work was mainly for vocalists, singers, that kind of stuff. But for a lot of these instruments, it's a lot of like lung capacity that you need to be able to have that stamina. So I had no idea.
Yeah, that's actually what I didn't like about playing the flute. I kept feeling like I would get really lightheaded while I was playing. And I don't think I stuck with it long enough to,
right.
you know, work my way through that.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, and then finally, what's something like about you, either a skill you have or just some fun fact that people wouldn't expect?
Well, I used to have a catering business. And I really, really love cooking. So that I think people often do not expect that. It is my favorite thing to do. I don't cook for Dean's dinner. Sometimes people ask, like, no, because that would take me all day.
Right.
But that is probably my favorite thing to do.
And how did you start that, and what kind of inspired the transition from catering business to Dean?
Well, they weren't quite lined up like that. So I got my PhD when I was really young. I went straight to graduate school from undergrad. So I was 25 when I graduated with my PhD. Okay. And when you were 25, or maybe I was 26, I was young. You just haven't done that much, right. you know, especially if you went straight to school from undergrad. And so I was here actually at Vanderbilt. I was doing I had a postdoctoral research position. And I was like, I I'm not sure I want to do this for the rest of my life. But I really love cooking. Maybe I'll open a catering business. And so I just like did. I just started.
And it was here in Nashville?
Yeah. I just started. Like at first I said to people, I will cater your event. If you buy the food, that's all it will cost you.
Yeah, I'll cook it.
Yep. And, you know, lots of people thought that was a great idea. Actually, some of the first things I did, I still have this like really awesome painting where I just traded for art. There was a guy doing a gallery opening. So I don't even think I got paid for that one at all. But it was back then, we lived in East Nashville. It was a really small community. And so word just spread. And I just started doing these events. And it got to the point where it was like I had to make a decision about, am I going to do this or not? Because if I'm going to do this, I'm pretty sure I'm not quite doing this legally. Like, I think I shouldn't be doing this out of my kitchen, you know?
And the profit type, yeah.
Right. And so, but it was kind of amazing to me how quickly it took off. And obviously, I ultimately did not decide to be a caterer. I decided to stay in academia. But it was very fun. I really enjoyed it.
And so what was your specialty? What were your specialty meals, or would it range from?
It was mostly cocktail parties, like
light bite.
Yeah, exactly. Although that was my first time living in the South, and one of the first things people asked me is if I could make pimento cheese, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right. I've never heard of that before. So there was some learning to do for sure.
Nice. Okay. Well, I guess we will wrap it up here. That is all for today. I'm Anissa Patel. Keep listening to hear about what's coming up this week on the Commons calendar, and we will see you next time on our Q&A with the Dean.
Hey, Doors. I'm Chloe, and I'm here with this week's Commons calendar. On Wednesday, February 14th, get yourself or someone you love a Valentine's Day bouquet from the Community Garden and Spear on the Rand Wall. Flowers are first come, first serve, so make sure to be there right at noon. At 4:30 p.m. on Thursday, February 15th, head over to our Commons Center to participate in the Dare to Grow Commons Cup event. The event is part of the Dare to Grow Expanding Our Perspectives Through Dialogue initiative, and it'll earn your house some Commons Cup points. On Friday, February 16th, the annual Greenathon is happening at the Wondery. Starting at 3:30, this event lets you dream up a green initiative to implement here on campus. On Monday, February 19th, make sure to grab some dinner at Taco Mama to support a fundraiser for Active Minds. The fundraiser goes from 5 to 9 p.m. And next Tuesday, February 20th, go to Central Library at 410 to hear a lecture by climate journalist Mary Inez Higlar titled The Highs and Lows of Climate Grief. That's all from me. Now it's time for the Human of the Commons interview with Maria.
going to kick off the Human of the Commons interview. It's your host for this week, Maria Balhara, and I'm sitting down with Chelsea Liebenthal from Boca Raton, Florida. She's studying earth and environmental science and psychology and lives in Memorial House. How are you today, Chelsea?
I'm doing great so far. How are you?
I'm good. I have questions to ask you. Are you ready?
I think so.
So first one is, what's your favorite class so far this semester? Are there any that have made a particular impact on you?
This is a really hard question because this kind of sounds cliche, but I love all my classes this semester. But I would say that one that has made more of an impact on me than most of my other classes is probably perception. Mm-hmm. Because when I decided to take that class, I didn't really know what it would be about. I just thought it sounded interesting from the little blurb on Yes.
It's a psychology class, right?
Yes. But we're going like deeper than that. We're going through like physics and philosophy. And it's really made me think in ways that I haven't before. And I really love it.
That sounds like a good class. How are you guys incorporating physics into perception?
So last class we were talking about like the physics of the eye and like the angles of like mirrors and then everything. It was quite interesting.
That's really cool. That's a good recommendation for other freshmen to think about. And on the note of favorite things, what's your favorite thing to do in Nashville so far? On campus or off? Whichever one.
I would have to say probably trying different tastes of Nashville restaurants.
Solid answer. Mm-hmm. But which ones do you like the best?
I've used almost all my meal money this semester at Sushi 88. I love sushi, so it's hard for me to stay consistent with like spreading out my meal money at other restaurants. So I've been to that one a lot.
Tell us about the miso soup, because we know you have a
thing. Oh, I love for miso soup. I go there like sometimes just for the miso soup, nothing else. It just like, I don't know what it is about miso soup, but it just makes me happy and it tastes really good.
I wish we could all be a health guru like you. Miso soup is supposed to be really good for you, I think. Is the first semester or the second semester harder for you of your freshman year?
I would have to say the first semester by far.
By far. We had another interviewee, Ian, from 2 weeks ago say the same thing. So why is first harder and the second is better?
I think for me, the first semester was harder because of the classes I was taking in addition to getting used to the college life, which I'm sure many freshmen struggled with, but that kind of paired with me taking Gen Chem and bio kind of, it was not the best decision, I think.
Yeah, so we hear a lot about Gen Chem in the first semester about how all the freshmen are just loathing the amount of work, and then second semester, I don't hear anything about Gen Chem 2. Are you in Gen Chem 2 right now?
I'm not. My major only requires one semester of Gen Chem, luckily.
Oh, so luckily you're done with that.
Yes.
But it's funny how second semester people are already talking about the difficulty of Gen Chem a lot less. What's your favorite late night snack during your study sessions?
I would have to say anything from the Munchie Mart, just because of convenience. I'm kind of feeling something different every day, so it depends on the day. But I really like the Skinny Pop popcorn.
Me too. Which one? The kettle or the
just the
salty
one?
It's really good. And as you know, the boiled eggs are my favorite. I'm gonna die on this hill. I will definitely die on the hill. If you add salt and pepper to the boiled eggs from there, solid part of your breakfast.
They ran out of salt. I was there yesterday looking for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to restock soon. They have a lot of other cool stuff. They have frozen berries that you can get on Marketplace, PAX, whatever it is. But I love the Munchie Mart too, and they close at midnight, so that's great. I know your opinion on your hometown, Boca Raton, is complicated, but what is your favorite thing about it that you miss when you're at college from your town?
Probably the winter weather. Anytime I call my parents back at home or my friends, and we kind of like compare the weather, especially when it was like -1 degrees here and snowy. I think it was maybe in the 70s over there. And it's just a lot easier to be outside and just walk places when it's not below freezing. So I miss that.
Yeah, me too. And I remember one day it was like 3 degrees going to dinner, and I was just in so much agony coming back, and I'm checking the temperature in Davie. It's like 65, something like that. But you do have to admit that we have a tolerance to the humidity because we're from Florida, right?
Definitely. I remember the first week it was very, very warm in Nashville. And a lot of people from up north were struggling a lot more than us Floridians were. So that's a win for us.
They definitely were. And everyone was complaining about the humidity in particular. Like people from the north or people from California were like, it's so humid. And I just thought, I don't feel anything. Because from Florida, you only really feel the humidity when it's like 99% humidity, when you're at the beach, basically. Because it's right. always humid. So we're good at dealing with that.
We are.
On the same topic, was it hard to adjust to the cold weather here because of that? Did you have like the proper clothing and essentials?
For some reason, it was not that hard for me to adjust. It was actually my first time ever seeing snow when it snowed a few weeks ago, and I was loving it.
That's good.
I had a winter coat. I had brought it back during fall break, I think. So I was prepared, and I loved it. It wasn't that hard to get used to for me.
That's good. It's definitely harder for me than you for some reason. But no, I had definitely a difficult time, but it's much better now. Even after a few months, you gain a lot of tolerance.
Definitely.
Okay, final question. We're going to talk about Starbucks. Definite addiction for lots of Vandy students. I go a few times a week. I love the wrap that they have there, and I always get a latte. But you are known amongst some members of the freshman class as the person who has never gone to Starbucks, even once. How have you gone this long?
Okay,
let's hear
it. I have to clear some things up. That's not completely true. I actually went with you once. I got a sandwich there.
Yes, against your will.
Against my will. I've never, like, bought myself a drink from Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're meaning, yeah.
I just think there's better and cheaper and more delicious options. For example, Susie's. I am a very, very frequent face at Susie's, probably at least twice a day there.
What do you get?
My order is usually the iced mocha latte with half sweetness, and it's delicious. And I just don't think Starbucks could top that.
You've never tried it.
But why would I pay $15 for a drink that I could get on the meal swipe?
True, and you like the banana bread too, right?
I love the banana bread. I've been not getting it as much recently, but if there is banana bread in front of me from Susie's, I will eat it.
I think that's the same with me, but with the Rand cookie, which ends at 3 p.m. every day, unfortunately. But no, it's interesting because a lot of people depend on caffeine, so you're still getting your caffeine in. You're just not going to Starbucks.
Exactly.
You plan to continue this routine?
I think so. I don't really see a deficit in my life. So
I feel like that'll be a quote unquote fun fact that you can tell icebreakers later. Like, I'm 45 years old and I've never bought anything from Starbucks. But no, that's very interesting. Anything else you want to talk about, Chelsea?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Thank you, listeners, for tuning into the Human of the Commons interview. And thank you, Chelsea, for giving us a glimpse into the life of a Floridian at Vanderbilt. Tune in next week for a new episode of the Commons Cast.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts, or via your favorite podcast app.